is the audio-only version of this episode, Doing the Most with Auntie Boy. If you want to see the video version, you can find that already uploaded on our YouTube channel.
Good morning.
I really like the kind of cottage core thing. Like, I was like, how is this project going to look? Like, I know how it feels, but how's it going to look? And I was like, well, it should look like grandma's house, but like a lit version of it or something, you know? So like the cover of the EP is all watercolors that I did.
Welcome back, Mayberry. We are here with the beautiful and brilliant Auntie Boy. Now, y'all need to understand, I was minding my own merry behind, truffling around in the internet like a pig looking for dopamine, and Auntie Boy's paid advertisement for the Meryl Streep EP came and hit me right in the funny bone. I immediately went and sought him out and asked him to come on the show. He indulged me, and now we have a whole episode for y'all. We have included some clips for you of Auntie Boy's best little videos and some of his beats and songs. This episode was a lot of fun to put together. This episode was recorded on March 28th, 2023, and I am so excited to bring it to y'all. I hope you enjoy Auntie Boy as much as I do.
Hello. For the past several hours, I have been working on a project that is very near and dear to my heart. I am, of course, talking about the Meryl Streep EP, my debut project as me, Auntie Boy. Featuring songs like Meryl Streep, Crying in the Covers, featuring Omri, Turn the Party Gay. These are just a few of the auditory experiences you may enjoy if you are so inclined as to support me. Please support me. It would mean a lot, as I'm an up-and-coming rapper from the LA area. I'm not telling you what to do here.
That's what's up. Auntie Boy, welcome.
Hello, what's good?
So many things. I just finished listening to the Meryl Streep EP, and I had a blast.
Oh, awesome, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Who's your friend?
Oh, my Twistleton. He gets a little anxious sometimes. I don't know. Like, jumps up on my lap while I'm working and whatnot.
Don't worry. All about that. Yeah, I finished listening to the Meryl Streep EP, and then YouTube Music got so confused it just put on Celine Dion, That's the Way It Is, and then followed up with Modestiato.
Yeah, we're definitely scrambling the algorithm this year, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. I actually did a cover at a show on Friday and threw in a cover of a Natasha Bedingfield song. So maybe it's like extrapolating out from there. Yeah, the Unwritten. It was like, I put like huge bass behind it, and it was just like, feel no rain on your skin.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was. So I don't know. I'll take the Celine Dion comparison though, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I listen to that song kind of like an excessive amount for just like a random millennial to be listening to.
Which one?
That's the Way It Is.
Classic.
It's kind of fitting also with the theme of the Meryl Streep EP. It's such a little rowdy. Where did it come from? Why did you do this?
I'm just a really big fan of, like, in most creative stuff, but in art, in music especially, contrast, you know? Like, I really like things that shouldn't be put together that work together, you know? So, like,
yeah.
Like, when I came up with the name first. I was with my friend Jillian, and we were at, like, a barbecue or something, and I just said Auntie Boy, and I was like, this is just like those two very simple words, but that just connote like totally different meanings, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I was just like, that's cool. It's just like, the, you know, because I was saying I wanted to wear more like mohair and like cardigans and like pearls and stuff. And, you know, and I was like, you know, like auntie, because, you know, call me Auntie Boy. And I was like, okay, just put that in the back pocket. And then, you know, with the way like my rap voice is, you know, being just like I feel like I'm really good at just doing this like hyper masculine kind of like bark, you know, kind of like, and with that, I was like, well, it's gotta be like, historically, I'm way more of a producer than a vocalist. So I'm much more thinking about like the vibe, like sonically. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, like with this, like timbre of the voice, like is like perfect for that name because, mm-hmm. you know, you think of this just like grandma going crazy on stage with this, like, you know, like a DMX almost, or like a Viking type of, you know, something yeah. like that. And I was like, I don't know. That's just like, that's great to me. So I guess that's kind of where it came from. And, you know, I was starting out, I would just like, you know, would like kind of do improvised like freestyle songs with my friend Omri. And we did a lot of those and they got kind of passed around like the LA music scene that we're in. And, people were just like, yo, put those out. And I was like, those are never coming out. They're just completely, you know, like the ridiculous or whatever. But I started doing some at home. In my studio with the same kind of energy to them, and it just sort of like taking that kind of spirit. Like a lot of my songs are improvised. A lot of the Auntie Boy songs are improvised. Like "Turn the Party Gay" was a freestyle, which is the single that I led with. You know, and I was just I don't know. I like that. I like to kind of just let the free spiritedness of it just happen and then spend a couple weeks like curating it. So the vibe translates a little better, you know? So, mm-hmm. so like freestyle the song, kind of like old Lil Wayne mixtapes or whatever, where he just like rap for like forever. And then they just be like, okay, that's good. That's good. And you can't really, sometimes you just can't replicate that like almost, what Iggy Pop used to say, what he did was Dionysian in the sense that he doesn't think about it and he just goes crazy. And then it kind of, that energy kind of somehow gets through in a way that you couldn't contrive. I like that, you know? And like in the song Meryl Streep, there's a part where I say, this beat really is bad. And then I kind of like chuckled to myself and I was like, that stays in the song. I don't know. It just hypes me up when I hear it, you know? Yeah, so I don't know. I like that kind of thing, but I mean the whole aesthetic of it though is kind of my favorite part because like I'm a graphic designer, like I do my own graphics and stuff, mm-hmm. and I was like, I really like the kind of cottagecore thing. Like I was like how is this project gonna look? Like I know how it feels, but how's it gonna look? And I was like, well, it should look like grandma's house, but like a like a lit version of it or something, you know. So like the cover of the EP is all watercolors that I did and stuff, and so it's like right. So I was like, that's, I don't know, that's kind of fire to me. And like at the shows, you know, there's all these flowers flying around, like I bring like a bag of like flowers and I put flowers on the microphone so that okay. when I'm like bouncing around, it's like this big bouquet of flowers like going up and down. And but it kind of just makes sense. Like if you don't analyze it from a listener perspective or when you're going to the show and you just like, are like, okay, then it'll just sort of wash over you and just like make sense. And that's like my favorite thing, you know? So.
Yeah. It all immediately hooked me. It was one really? Ad, oh, like nice. A paid ad came through my newsfeed and I was just like, I'm in, I sent it to like 100 people immediately. Like everybody needs to know this really? Is happening right now. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. For similar reasons, I like things that don't make sense to go together. And it was so contrast and bizarre. The aesthetic definitely was gripping. And thank the you. Track list. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's individuals that I'm like, I have to send this song to so-and-so right now because I specifically turned the party gay. Yeah, that went real quick. Yeah, that one,
I love that because it's like turn the party gay. Like that's a classic kind of like just like something that just turn your frontal lobe off and say, and I'm just like, yes, like, you know, that that's the ethos, you know, you put the song on. Everything explodes and it's gay now. You know what I mean? So it's like, at least that's the intention, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny too. Cause there's a little more like the preview You've got the hooks going repeatedly in the verses. I was like, oh, this is a little aggro more than I anticipated for some of the songs. I need it like this. Yeah. Great. And yeah, it just was so pleasant to really enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, just because a song is like aggro doesn't mean it's like, you know, totally heteronormative or whatever. It's like we can bring that energy, you know, into the community. You know, it's cool. It's cool to me. You know, it seems like, I mean, the project's been out for about a month, and you know, it seems like people, like, it's resonating with people, which is awesome. You know, because it's like something that's like new and also doesn't necessarily like have the most coherent hashtags, you know, sorting. It's like, you know, put it out and it's kind of like, well, you know, maybe this is just going to be for like me and my homies, you know. But but you know, I mean, just with the reaction to it so far, I'm like, oh, sick, you know, like people think it's cool, like I think it's cool. So
yeah, no, there's a lot of boring shit out there. It's certainly anything but it's really creative and compelling. Like, it's not like depressing, but there's like songs or like moments about kind of like more darkness or whatever, and you carry such a lightness with it. Like it's like medicine, stuff like that. It's important, and it's good to like not have it in a place where it's like, oh, I'm going to like get like, you know, treatment for my thing or whatever. Just having it like show up in life in a really organic but totally bizarre underworld kind of way, or wonderlandy.
That's a really cool description. I wouldn't have I might not have put it quite like that, but I like that a lot. So
word. How long have you been making music?
Oh man. So I was I've been making music pretty much since I saw the this is like a kind of a weird reference for this project for Auntie Boy, but like I saw the Justice documentary, like the band, like the French DJ duo Justice. I saw the Across the Universe thing, and I played in bands in like high school and stuff. And like, you know, I my dad's a musician, like he's a pianist. So, you know, I kind of grew up like copying him and stuff with like keyboard, and kind of got attracted more to guitar. But then I saw that documentary, and I like immediately like got my hands on a copy of Logic Pro and just started making like beats and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you count that, it's been a long time. I haven't really been ever using my voice in my music. Like, I mostly made beats for other people. I did a bunch of like hip hop ghost production like way back in the day. Mm-hmm. I toured as like a electro DJ for a while. But with Auntie Boy, Auntie Boy is brand new. Like, the idea of putting my voice like as the artist persona, like, that's very new. So
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it was a good idea. Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah.
How many shows have you had? How are you like gonna be doing this for a while? What are you've got?
Yeah. No, we're gonna I mean, just given the way it like feels to me, mm-hmm. To have this music out, like I say run it to its like logical conclusion, wherever that is. But two shows so far, and like that's honestly my favorite part by far. Like, I love performing, and try to like the kind of like surrealist like contrast of things that I have in the music, like bringing that into like a room is a super interesting like kind of thing that I think about, you know. So like it's a brand new project, so we don't have like a ton of budget for like actual production yet, which would be awesome. But I played at 1720 in Los Angeles. The first show was there, which was great because they have this big, long LED wall, and it's like a weird aspect ratio. So me and Omri just got super into it, and just like our whole sets had like, you know, movies behind it basically. And you know, I think that adds like a huge amount to the performance. So, you know, like I played on Friday at like a smaller venue, and they just had like screens, like projector screens and like TVs all around. So my visuals were just like all over these TVs. That was also pretty cool. So it was kind of like, right. You know, but yeah, two shows so far, definitely planning on more, you know. Got a single coming out on Friday, that I sort of synced up with my birthday, called In Love With The Plug, that I'm like super excited about. It's definite. Yeah. So
I saw an ad about that. Yeah. And it, that's particularly, it tickles me right now because of some crap happening in my life. But
oh, really? Yeah, what's going on?
I found out some information about some bothersome people, and seeing the title of that song was kind of like, oh, interesting. That's a weird thing to contrast with this new information that I was just given.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happy early birthday. That's
thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Aries season.
Yeah, that's what's up. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually, I don't know if you're like into that stuff. I kind of have one foot in, one foot out, you know. It's more like, it's fun for me, but my mom is like a really big hippie. And when I was like a teenager, she had like a shaman visiting and had him do like a natal chart reading.
Okay.
I discovered I'm actually a triple Aries. So it's like sun, moon, rising are all Aries, which I think is like kind of rare. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Triple anything I think is kind of rare. Yeah. That's interesting. All right. Yeah. I'm kind of into it. I keep trying to act like I'm not, and then it'll prove itself to me in some way. You know, it's kind of more about separating like the bullshit from the stuff that might be legit or like could be legit or whatever, you know. People, anything that seems like true kind of attracts bullshit people to it that don't really know what they're doing but want to make some kind of presence or you know,
charlatans.
Yeah, charlatans and NPCs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it seems like is kind of like truisms about most people that are kind of like, you know, like almost like some of the stuff is like, you could suggest that it's like, well, you know, you have two different sides. It's like, well, everybody does. People contain multitudes, you know? So it's like, it's hard to tell like where the commonalities of everybody and where the things that are like specific to like, you know, one group of people are, you know? So
yeah.
But I do like it though. And I do pay attention. Obviously, I got a natal chart reading, so you know, I'm not really sure where I fall on it. But
those are always fun. I've had a couple done. The only one that I've had done comprehensively, a couple months later, it was like a person I grew up with. And then a couple months later, it became evident that some of the like the interpretation that she had given was very personally driven by her own expectations or like desires for my behavior, basically. Yeah.
That is something to think about, you know. It's like, you know, yeah, one comment I always get is like, oh, you're so calm for an Aries, you know, like, and it's like, well, you know, one, I don't think that's true, but then also it's like, what, like, you know, should I not tell people I'm an Aries because you're expecting this like maniac to pop out or whatever, you know? But I don't know.
I mean, it kinda, I don't know that anybody actually acts like the descriptions of Aries. You know, like memes will come up and it's like, one came today. It was like, why I switched from meditation to screaming or something. And it was like an Aries label. And I was like, I mean, kind of, but mostly Aries women that I know, if anything, first of all, and then also like, not really even, you know, there's kind of just.
Yeah. Well, very few people act like memes in my experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason though, people keep sending them around and making them and
like, I don't know, the most archetypal, you know, thing, like on a individual level, people don't act like memes. On a group level, people often act like me, if that makes sense. You know, it's like.
It does. Yeah, I think that's actually the definition of memes. If I'm not, I can't remember, but there's something about like collective. Like memetic. They don't really exist in a vacuum. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah. It's mimetic repetition. You know, you say something to one person, they ideate on it, you know, which I didn't know. And I was watching some old sci-fi show and they had this like consortium of aliens. And this is like a show from like the 90s. and they're introducing all these like alien delegations and these like creatures walk in and they introduce them as the inventors of the repeated meme. And whoa. I was like, hold on a minute. Like, did this show just like, I think it was like, I'm not a fan of Doctor Who, but I think I was watching Doctor Who with like an ex. And I was like, okay. did Doctor Who predict memes? And I like looked into it and saw the definition of the word. But you know, I was like, man, that would be so awful if Doctor Who predicted memes. I don't know why I would just hate that.
Yeah, I haven't seen much Doctor Who. People keep telling me I like need to watch it, and I just can't ever really start. But
that's the only time I watched it. That was the only time, but like the vibe I got from it was like very cozy. I think it was like very campy. Cozy, like chill. It seemed like something that if I liked as a little kid I would like still watch, you know. But
makes sense.
I think maybe it's like a soothing show for people, you know, because it's like I think the like low budgetness and the weirdness of it and like all the lore is like kind of comforting, you know. So
yeah, and then it's kind of by nature like a repeated format over and over again or something like that. Like even if they recast all the characters, it's supposed to be the same people or something.
It's weird. And you can kind of like they were trying to get me into it, my ex, and like we watched like a little bit of each season to kind of like taste test. And there was like one season where the doctor was like a 90s like edgy guy with like a leather coat and like sunglasses, and that was my favorite one because it was just so absurd, you know. It was like trying so hard to like shoehorn the show into like the cultural moment, and it was insane, and I you know I liked it. So but
okay, that's what that makes sense given how we started this episode with things that don't go going together. Yeah,
actually that's a good callback. I didn't even mean to, but yeah
this show does that. I don't know why my conversations tend to loop or spiral. Like it's like we hit the same point but at like a more elevated level or something like that, like stacking concept.
That's great.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's a good like conversational kind of thing to have happen, you know, like you kind of just like you circle out to something else and then, you know, I mean, that's I always like it when things go that way. So
yeah, cool. Do you have any shows coming up? What are your like future plans with this project, or any project you're working on?
Nothing show wise is booked right now. For Auntie Boy, I'm gonna play at 1720 again at some point in the next couple of months. But the biggest thing on my radar right now is the single that's dropping on Friday, In Love With The Plug, which I'm going to like push that super hard because that's probably my favorite song I've made. and then I have a bunch of other songs like lined up in the pipeline. I've also got a release party for In Love With The Plug on Friday. So I guess I do have something booked, but that's like, okay. It's like in an art gallery. Yeah. Yeah. Are you in LA?
All right. I am, yeah. Another couple of weeks.
You should come, for sure. Yeah.
Pull up. Where's it at? When is it?
It's like in an art gallery in Skid Row on that my friend owns. But it's like a cool space. It's like, it's at this place called Violet 7 Studios. Shout out Violet 7. You know, definitely. You know, she's getting it off the ground. So, but. But yeah, we're just going to have like some DJs and like you know, do a little performance and, yeah, just kind of just like, cause I wanted to have a release party for the EP, but I just had so much going on. I just didn't do it. So we're kind of like make up for that with this. So it'll be cool.
Cool. That's what's up.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. There's a lot of expectations around things sometimes, and we have so much going on. You got to just figure out how to have joy where you can fit it in and make things the way you want them to be.
I also kind of like that the EP came out like low key. Cause like, you know, a lot of my friends were just like, yo, have you heard like Daniel's music? Like it's awesome. But, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, I think, you know, commemorating like, cause I'm probably going to put out like at least 8 singles this year, like including In Love With The Plug. Just cause I don't know. Like I make music fast. Like it's like I take about an hour to make the beat. Right. And that's like a strictly a vibes based process. Like it's just kind of like moving things around until I feel good with it. And then I like record a song in like half hour. And then I spend like a week polishing it, you know, editing it up and stuff, and then get it mixed and mastered and stuff. So it's just, I mean, it's so fun for me. And I've banked up so much music even just over this month that I feel like just every month, every other month, Auntie Boy song should come out, you know, and a bunch of visuals should kind of follow that. And then, you know, just keep it going. Cause I mean, I enjoy it, you know?
That's what's up. I'm looking forward to it. That gives me something to look forward to for a while. Awesome. Yeah.
Sweet. cool.
Cool. That's what's up. Well, anything else you want to say?
Be nice to people and, you know, just do whatever you want to do, you know, within reason. You know, that's as long as you consider it from a position of empathy first, I don't think you should, you know, edit yourself at all. So I guess that's
cool. That's what's up. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm definitely going to take that into consideration with the things I've got going on in my life right now. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people just overthink things, I guess, you know, like I think you should spend like a ton of time getting good at things. Like I actually work really hard on like music and a bunch of stuff in my life. But when it comes time to like create something that embodies a moment, I think you've spent so much time getting good at what you do that the creation should just like flow, you know, that's ideal to me.
It's true. And I mean, if you sit on stuff too long or overthink it, time really erodes moments. That's kind of how it goes. We're like having the experience and pushing something out is.
Yeah,
that's kind of the name of the game, like, I guess.
Pretty much almost all the most talented musicians I know do that. And like, I've done that too, you know, and like not just musicians, like other people who make things, you know, you just like you have this like because you're, you know, you really care about what you're doing and you become perfectionistic of it. And then perfect kind of becomes the enemy of the good thing, you know, where like all it's your desire for this like complete, you know, thing precludes you from all these beautiful moments that you're just like missing along the way because you're like holding on to this idea that this thing has to be exactly right. There was like, I forget who told me about this, but there was like a focus group where one group of people was told to, they were all told to make clay pots. And one group of people was told to make like the best pot you can over 3 weeks. And the other group was told to make as many clay pots as you can over 3 weeks. And so this group is like laboring over this, like these vases and stuff. You know, you're not that experienced with making pottery. So you're just like, you know, laboring over. And then you're like, well, I don't know if this one's good enough. Like, maybe I should change it and stuff. And like, and this group is over here just like making as many pots. And then at the end, they pick the best one. And this group consistently had a better vase than the group that was trying to make the best one. And they're just trying to make stuff, you know? So like, you don't really know what the thing needs to be until you like do it, in my opinion. So
I guess the more you're making too, the more you're learning about your mistakes, and kind of at an intuitive level, if you're not trying to figure out and overthink and get it just perfect. Reminds me, I took drum lessons from someone when I was a teenager, and he was trying to teach me a new drill, and I was being kind of like trepidatious with like figuring out the fill or whatever. And he came over and slapped me on the back really hard and was like, if you're going to make a mistake, make it loud so you know what you did wrong. And it just, I was like, I'm carrying that forever into like everything I do. Like at 14 years old, knew like it was going to be something I'm thinking about at damn near 40.
Music will teach you a lot about like how you learn, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because it's, you know, it's like, if you like people who are really good at like an instrument, you know, it's kind of like to people who aren't good at it, it's almost like, it's just like unbelievable. So it's like, you know, it's like a really severe like learning exercise that never ends, you know, it doesn't have a ceiling on it. So I think if you just like endeavor to do that, it teaches you a lot about how your own brain works, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and I think like allowing that weirdness to come out and like figure out like how you want that weirdness to come out. You got to let it out a little bit and see what resonates back in the right ways that you like. And
For sure.
Cool. Well, that's what's up. So you got your Friday show, you got your single dropping, you got music to come every month or so for the next year. I'm loving it. It's great.
And little videos will be bombarded out, you know?
That's what's up. Awesome. Where can people find you on the internet? Where are we going to find all of that?
At auntie.boy on Instagram, at auntieboy on TikTok. Auntieboy.com has a bunch of cool stuff. One thing I do on there is I give away all my stems for free. Like I believe that that's, you know, if someone wants to like take something I've made and like chop it up and whatever, I think that's sick, you know?
That's awesome.
And then, YouTube, I think is just, at Auntie Boy. So, and SoundCloud too, you know? So
beautiful. And you want to shout out your friends' handles?
Yeah. Follow at I Am Omri. That's my closest, musical collaborator right now. We also do the videos and stuff together. If you like my stuff, his stuff, you'll probably also like, you know. You know, he's got a high singing voice though. He's not a rapper, but it's got similar humor in it and stuff. And also shout out at Away Not Found, another close collaborator friend. Gray Music on IG. Those guys are fucking awesome, you know. That's shout out Violet 7 Studios for hosting the release party, and Crux My Heart, she owns it, you know, so for sure.
That's what's up. Well, I'm looking forward to that party. I think I can make it. I hope I get to meet you there.
Hope to see you there, man.
Hello, it's your boy Auntie. Our times is hard all over the place, I know. Believe me. If you're having a bad day, just remember that a brighter horizon is right around the corner, always. And if a bitch told you not to do something, or that you can't do something, make sure to do that thing. They don't want you to win, so we're gonna win more. Anyways, I believe in you. Listen to the Meryl Streep EP if you're feeling down. Really makes you think, it really makes you wonder. Auntie Boy, really.
We're in love with the plug.
Drugs. Hey,
shake it fast.
Yeah, I do them drugs.
Hey,
I do them drugs.
Hey.
Don't give a fuck. I'm in love with the plug. Yeah, I do them drugs.
Try.
I do them drugs.
Hey.
Busting out the boot in the back. I want some. I asked the plug to get married. I had the plug meet my parents.
Mom and daddy.
I might stay home from the club.
What is this? So close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibition.
Feel the rain on
your skin. No one else can feel it for you. The only you can let it in. But no one else, no one else can speak the words on your lips. Control self, their words are spoken. Live your life with love and open. Today is where your book begins.
Feel the rain on your skin.
The videos that go along with the clips in this episode, go check out the Good Morning Mayberry YouTube channel where we've got the video version of this episode already uploaded. And let me just tell you, it's worth the time to listen again. Alternatively, you can find all these videos on Auntie Boy's social media, except for the Echoes cover of Crying in the Covers. That is my video that I got on my phone at the release party for In Love with the Plug. And you can find that on the Good Morning Mayberry Instagram. Or again, like I said, you can check it out on the video version of this episode that's uploaded to YouTube on Good Morning Mayberry channel. Make sure you go check out Auntie Boy's collaborators and friends and give us all a little subscribe and a like and, you know, all the positive engagements that you can on the internet. We've got some big changes happening around here at Good Morning Mayberry. We'll be letting you all know more about that soon. I am so grateful for this experience. It's been a very interesting ride podcasting. It's the most dangerous job I've ever had, frankly. And some things have occurred recently in my personal and professional life that have really changed the trajectory of how this show can carry on. But that's going to be the way that it is. That's the way it is, as Celine Dion would say. So, you know, just hang in there with us, and we're going to hang in there with you as much as we can. Thank you so much to Auntie Boy for coming on to the show, and thank you all for listening. As always, your good old host Shift, yours truly, is here to say, always remember to never forget.
Be nice to people and just do whatever you want to do, you know, in reason, you know, as long as you consider it from a position of empathy first. I don't think you should edit yourself at all. So
that's what's up.